Hey guys, this is Adam from the podcast, and you are listening to Quick Clips. Quick Clips are condensed versions from one of our previous podcast episodes, featuring some of the interesting things our guests had to say. If you want to hear the full episode, we'll have it in the show notes below. And with that, let's start the show. You are working for Axel Nobel, and it says I have here that you started in 1985-ish, somewhere around there. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, something really interesting to me about that time period, especially with automotive paints, is that is around that time, that's when they kind of started going to a clear coat, base coat type scenario, mass-produced cars. And you look at a lot of those cars from the 80s, and they had lots of clear coat problems, lots of clear coat failures, which, you know, so your clear coat is there, obviously, to help protect your base coat, to keep it from fading and everything like that, along with, obviously, lots of other things. What was your challenge as a color artist in that early 80s, in that kind of environment? What kind of challenges were you guys trying to overcome?
Now, actually, that was just before my time, that the non-clear coated base coat. So I never had to work with that, but they are still existing. We have this single stage top coat without clear coats, and there is of course a challenge in matching, because you have a higher built base coat, what means the orientation of the aluminium is not as good, as perfect as a very thin base coat. So the colors look more, say, less depth. There's less metallic effect. It is more gray with texture than a real metallic color. But actually, when I started in Axel, it was already base clear coat. And actually, when I started, one of my first colors was actually one of the first pearl colors. So they went from metallics, a big market share went to the pearls, to the micas, actually. So that was very nice. It was a new palette of say glitters next to the existing metallics were coming, and that was very interesting.
What challenges did you have transitioning from, or I guess it wouldn't be transitioning, but incorporating pearls versus metallics? What were some of the challenges you guys had to overcome with that?
The challenges were in the beginning were the filtering, say the. There were some larger particles in the pearl, so that was in the OEM giving some issues that the filters get filled. But of course, the companies they fixed that problem, and that is not a problem anymore. And of course, the behavior of pearls is completely different. But and I found out myself, because I was working with wet paint, of course, and. And if you say mix blue with yellow in pigments, you get green. But if you mix blue with yellow in pearls, actually you mix light, so it gets whitish.
Interesting.
It doesn't become green because it is adding up. If you mix light, it's adding up. If you mix all the lights, you get white. And if you paint, you get actually in theory you get black. So with pearls, you're actually mixing light, because they're small particles which have no pigment on it, but are breaking the light to a certain color.
What was the kind of the challenge from switching from like lead base to whatever you were switching going over to when you were kind of first starting out? What challenges in color was that?
There was actually, with this new red pigment from Ciba, there was not much challenge, because it was the price is a challenge, of course. Lead was very cheap, but rather dirty if you compare with this red pigment from Ciba. And so you can actually add some black and some iron oxide to make it better hiding. So you need less. But all the challenges was metamerism. I don't know if you know what that is. Mm-mm. That if you switch the light source, the color changes. And lead colors built with lead had in yellow light a different appearance than, say, colors not built with lead. So there you really had to trick sometimes with all kind of addition, maybe a drop of green, what you would never do. to get also good in the other light sources. That were challenge, and that are still challenges. There are still colors with lead in it, and if you want to make them with non-lead paints, then you will become metameric.
Is there an OEM out there that you think has some of the best colors across the board? Just they just always seem to come out with these really exciting, great executed colors.
Toyota, it has some good colors. Some colors with, yeah, say the three-coat pearls with some, I don't know if you know, Xerelic in it. And the pearls look very smooth, and it looks almost like a solid color, but when the sun is on it, you can see it's an effect. That's from Japan. Japan is very popular, this three-coat. That's why they have a lot of experience. And there are a lot of interesting colors nowadays from Mazda. Especially Mazda comes with this soul red crystal. This is a candy color, which is on the limit of what is possible. And they have this gray color, machine gray, which is also very smooth and very deep in the flop. And they're very challenging for the refinish industry. So for me, it's nice. I mean, I like challenging colors, but it's really dramatic for the aftermarket, because it's very, very hard to repair these colors.
So the spectrophotometer, you sit down with your now business partner and you guys come up with this idea, or I mean, how did that happen? Like, how are you guys coming up with the idea behind something like that?
Now, Akzo Nobel was already working with the spectrophotometer, and PPGSL. So the big guys, they had it already. So what I said, well, I need to implement this system also in Valspar. They didn't have it. So they had something, but not efficient. And what we did together is making the perfect system without the glitches from what Akzo Nobel still had in it, because we were new, so we could build it the perfect way. And Klaas, my partner, came also from Akzo Nobel, and actually he did not use Akzo Nobel technology, because he was not allowed to do that, and he reinvented, and that was together with me, on this napkin, the approach. And that was proven very successful. So with a multi-angle spectrophotometer, with a newer type, with what was LED-based, that was also an improvement, because LED is not declining, like a normal tungsten lamp. What was in the old spectrophotometers, after 2 years, the color will change slightly. So we started with an LED multi-angle. We started with complete new algorithms. And we developed the system online, so that it's always everywhere the same. Everybody's working the same time. Combining in with the people's knowledge, the color matches. So not just some method, some engineer or some scientist who make algorithms. No, we really look in the brain of me and of other color specialists, and see how are we working, how are we making a color, and that is built in the system. And the IP is from Klaas, so we now can still use it, because he was that time already consultant.
If you're using the Akzo Nobel spectrophotometer versus the one that you guys came up with, you said that it took you less than 4 attempts to match a color using that photometer. If you were using the Akzo Nobel one, are you improving? Is the percentage of improvement like 50%? So it takes 8 attempts on the Akzo Nobel photometer?
Something like that, yes.
Wow.
And that is a lot of money, because one trial in a lab is around €25. So per color you can save €100.
Hey guys, Adam from the podcast. I hope you are enjoying today's episode. Just wanted to ask you a quick favor. If the show has brought you value in some way, would you mind giving us a review and sharing the show? It really helps the show get out there. Also, if you are looking to expand the services that your shop offers and you want to do more than collision work, you should really check out our company, Clarity Coat. Clarity Coat is a peelable paint that allows body shops to offer color changes cheaper than a repaint while still looking like real paint. You can also offer clear protection that has no edges and is sprayed instead of laid. Unlike vinyl and PPF, Clarity Coat can be sanded and polished, so you can give your customer the exact look that they are wanting. If you are looking to expand your shop services, go to claritycoat.com and fill out our Become an Installer form. All right, let's get back to the show. I gotta imagine, I'm just making a guess here, or an assumption. I gotta imagine that you're probably a pretty big fan of robots spraying and mixing, and the more automation and the more yeah. reliable something is, you're probably a big fan of it, right?
Yeah, certainly, yes.
Is that something that is on its way to becoming a lot more popular, is robotic spraying for these kind of color companies, or like where do you think we're sitting with that?
Yeah, for the color labs, yes, definitely. There are big players which have already such a complete automated lab, and then everything is done. The mixing, the spraying, measuring, put in the oven, everything is with the robot arms, is controlled. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive, but the return of investment is for sure within 2 years, because you can make a tremendous amount of mixtures per day, so also many colors, and the accuracy is very high because no human errors in mixing is there anymore. So we are a big fan of that, and we talk actually with companies making this equipment, if we can be part of them in this whole setup. But for these mid-sized companies, I think that it's at this moment this is too expensive to invest in. So we try to do semi-automatic, and that means with automatic dispensers only, but the formula is sent by the computer, so they don't have to type or whatever anymore. And so it is more accurate than completely by hand. And actually spraying is by hand is still faster than by robot, because you can fasting the cleaning and say the drying by blowing it is just a little bit faster than using and completely in a spray machine.
What do you think is the future of color? Like, I mean, you've obviously been in the industry for a very long time, pretty much your entire professional career. What is something that's on the horizon that you think is going to make a big difference in color, or, you know, what's something that we can look forward to in 5, 8, 10 years?
Yeah, it is very difficult to predict, because we go to this autonomous driving, and the question will be, will people want to, you know, being in a kind of auto train, car train, all looking the same without having to drive, or do they want to stand out? We don't know yet. What we know for sure is that for autonomous driving, you need different pigments, because some, like carbon blacks, they are difficult to see by LiDAR systems. That means that carbon blacks, if LiDAR is chosen to be the system, carbon blacks will not be there in the colors anymore.
Interesting.
But they will probably make blacks without black, or with special blacks, but no carbon black anymore. But you cannot get as deep than as the deep blacks what you see now in the industry.
I didn't even think about that, but that makes a lot of sense, that if you're using just like cameras in cars for your automated driving, that having a red, blue, or yellow car, like the yellow is going to pop and be seen easier than a blue or a red one. And it's going to be much easier to track micro movements in that vehicle versus the red and blue one, because it just appears better. I would also imagine then that matte colors would also be very low on the list of being acceptable, because it diffuses light instead of, you know, redirects it right back. Didn't even think about automated driving having a big play or a big influence on what colors of cars could be in the future.
Yes, it will certainly, and that is also with radar. For example, aluminium will block radar, so you cannot have full aluminium anymore. You need at least creating holes in it where these radar beams can go through. And so and also there's a lot of looking at using pigments which keep the car a little bit cooler inside, you know. So say white is of course it's easy for that, but also using different dark pigments which are not heating up as easy as carbon blacks. So definitely that all these kind of things will influence the color palette.
I'm pretty sure that you probably can't talk in detail about this, but are there electric car manufacturers or automated manufacturers that you guys are talking with right now to kind of help solve some of these problems? Like, is there a problem which you haven't already talked about, like aluminum blocking some radar signatures or whatever, that they're trying to overcome and you guys are helping them with them, or it's just, you know, well known in the industry?
No, we are not doing that yet. I mean, we are just starting, but yes, it's happening. So when you want to have a color approval for the big manufacturers, you need to be also approved for certain criteria in relation to radar and LiDAR.
All right, that does it for today's Quick Clips. If this episode has brought you value, would you mind giving us a review? Also, if you would like to learn more about ClarityCoat and what it can do for your business, please visit us at ClarityCoat.com. See you on the next one.